Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber with Jim Cramer. We are live from the New York Stock Exchange. Carl has the morning off. We get started with trading on what Jim and I like to call hump day. Let's take a look at futures. 30 minutes from now is when we begin. And you can see... I don't know.
Mixed.
Tell me. Thank you.
Mixed.
Thank you. It's the great insight we all count on. Our roadmap starts with an eye on corporate results. Three Dow names crossing the tape: Coca-Cola, Johnson & Johnson, and Verizon. And we're going to dig into all those companies. Plus Netflix, its subs fall short. The streamer, however, did forecast bigger subscriber gains ahead and did confirm his plans and give a little detail on getting into gaming.
Gaming.
Yeah. And COVID concerns, Jim. The WHO is warning that the world is going into the early stages of another wave, while a new study finds J&J's vaccine may not perform as well as the others against the Delta variant. Where do you want to start? Markets, earnings, both?
Well, David, I want to talk about the concept of better than expected.
Okay.
All right. Some better than expecteds are better than expecteds. Chipotle was amazing. I mean, they basically are making money with Chipotlanes outside. Anytime they have something outside, they're starting to have lunch inside. So Chipotle was just remarkable. They could do 3 million per unit instead of 2.5 million. Remember, it's company owned. But then let's go to Hans Vestberg and Verizon.
Yes.
That's better than expected, but not better than expected. It's not as better as better than expected. Now, if you could help me there, because I'm not a wordsmith about this, but you know exactly what I mean.
I do.
So maybe you can translate my gobbledygook.
I do. Although Verizon shares are going to be up, I know. We'll see. Oftentimes, they don't sustain.
Right. That's what the futures are saying.
B of A on their raised guidance. It appears a composite function of lower media depreciation, lost media losses. Remember, they are getting rid of the media business, so they're not losing money from it anymore.
Right.
And some service revenue gains from what they're calling successful 5G promotional plan upselling.
But the actual growth, David?
There's no growth.
That's my point.
Yeah,
That's my point. Chipotle is real growth. Verizon has not manufactured growth because there's nothing.
Not at all.
It's just a very slow growing business,
which may be getting more competitive as AT&T is able at some point to start focusing solely on its wireless business. Not there yet until they complete the deal with Discovery.
But we have growth companies and very little growth companies. J&J is a growth company with a AAA balance sheet and a quarter that was really remarkable, boosted by medical devices because people are now going for elective.
Right.
But more importantly, pharma and consumer were incredible to the point where I think that Estee Lauder is worth buying off the consumer. Now, let's contrast that, all right, with Netflix. Now, Netflix has some better than expected lines, but David, there's not a lot of growth there.
No, and that leads to this question of, and we're jumping all around here, but that leads to this question.
No, we're talking about growth, no growth.
We are, of multiple and multiple compression. I'm looking at Laura Martin's note. She has not been positive on the stock, though she's a veteran analyst at Needham, and she says there's more multiple compression ahead. How low could it go? EV to forward year revenue multiples already contracted from 9.1 to 8.4 over the last five quarters. Industry comp suggests this multiple could contract by another four multiple points. Now, that would be a lot.
Well, David, when you're talking about a buyback on a growth stock, right? Talk about buyback. They have a lot of firepower for buyback. And I'm thinking, buyback?
Right.
I don't want no stinking buyback. I want growth, okay? Now, then they talk about the idea that when, at a certain point, Amazon pivoted and that growth. Well, they're giving you these companies that generally that pivot and start having free cash flow.
Yes.
David, I want pure oxygenated growth from growth companies.
All right, but you're getting it with Netflix. You're not going to get it in the United States, but they've acknowledged that, right? I mean, they obviously had a significant bump up a year ago in the midst of the pandemic.
Right, there was pull through. They use words that you don't want to hear. Pull through,
right?
Okay? And David, what I don't like, you know, if you take a look at where they're gaining, it's in areas where they're COVID. They mentioned Brazil.
Yes.
They mentioned India.
Yes.
Well, I want a smoothed out growth story. So I come away and I say, you want smoothed out growth? Well, you're going to have to go to Chipotle. You have to go to ASMLF. All right. You got to go to United Health yesterday or Anthem today. You can't go to pseudo growth.
Understood, although back to Netflix for a moment, they are growing, as you pointed out, significantly outside the U.S. That
and
is their growth
runway.
Market, and there's a lot of runway there.
Big runway.
It's a big runway.
Total addressable market, big runway.
Oh, TAM.
And gaming is
big. Everybody will throw TAM at you.
All I'm saying is that I want to distinguish between the companies that people really want to own and the companies that people may just, I mean, really want to buy, the companies that you might want to own. You're betting on a second half great slate for Netflix.
Well, you've been right. All right. In Netflix, you have been a beneficiary of incredible growth.
Right.
And you've wanted to own the stock through that period of time.
Right.
But you seem to be saying they're reaching an inflection point where perhaps even the shareholder base is going to need to change to some extent.
Yes.
To reflect what is going to be much slower growth for the dominant player, streaming player with a lot of competition now out there and coming on even stronger.
I think the competition, which I have been poo-pooing, has finally caught up.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Let's listen to Reed Hastings.
Sure.
He had a different view, surprisingly.
Absolutely.
Than you did.
Here's Mr. Hastings, the
co-CEO of the company.
I think for at least the next several years, the growth story of streaming as a whole is very intact. And then you've got the secular competition story. Does HBO or Disney or other entry have a differential impact compared to the past? And we're not seeing that in the detail that we have per country, you know, because they're launched in some countries and not in others. That gives us comfort. We're not seeing that in the total viewing, like the Nielsen measures. And so we think mostly all of streaming is a growth story competing from linear TV, and that will be true till, say, streaming is 50, 60, 70% of viewing.
Okay, there you have it. He rebutted you.
Well,
in some
first
way.
Of all, I love Reed. Had
of course,
money.
One
great.
Of the great.
Well, I always thought Netflix was Amazon, and everybody else is just kind of number four or five. Now, I think that Disney, I think that HBO are in better hands. I no longer feel that it's Amazon. I feel like it's Amazon Cloud, where suddenly Google Cloud comes on, and suddenly Azure comes on. So that's my comparison. Now, they all grow. But you always try to figure out the analog. And the analog here is now Reed is Amazon Web Services, and the other guys are actually nipping.
Okay.
Amazon Web Services is still a great business.
An amazing business.
Amazing business.
And also growing its top line at still an incredibly rapid rate. By the way, the total addressable market there is so much larger.
Well,
and I wouldn't necessarily make that analogy.
That's
actually,
look, I'm just trying to explain why it's a hold, not a buy.
Okay, but that one I didn't like. I thought that was false.
You didn't like my analysis?
Yeah. No, that one to AWS, I lost you on that. I'm sorry, I lost you on that.
I thought a lot about that.
Did you? I just feel like that is the cloud. That is such a larger market, and it's expanding.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Whereas here,
no, I'm talking about Disney Plus being a factor.
Well, there's no doubt.
Oh,
right.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Right. And
Azure
so Netflix is still the leader.
Azure
what
is this? Some sort of, what are we, like,
this is
what, like foolproof gas?
This is beautiful lucite.
What the hell is that?
Don't touch my lucite.
What the hell was that?
Anyway,
all I'm saying is that Netflix had it to itself.
Yeah.
And, okay, how about this one? Maybe you'll like this one.
Okay.
Tesla versus Ford.
Ah.
How do you like that?
Interesting.
Where the Ford Mustang Mach-E wins the car and driver.
Right.
Pretty much sold through. The F-150 Lightning.
But Tesla is still by far the dominant provider with many other companies coming along.
Right. Well, then, look, maybe
I don't feel like Netflix's position is as dominant as AWS and or Tesla in some way. Do you?
I'm giving the due to Disney Plus and HBO.
Okay.
That's what I'm
doing. All right.
And he's saying that doesn't matter. I'm saying now it's an inflection
point. What
about
gaming?
Or they wouldn't be doing
gaming.
Thank you.
Right.
And they talk about M&A. People say rule out M&A. Now, Strauss Zelnick, hold your ears. What they really need to do is buy Take-Two.
Right.
Because they want stories, and Take-Two has stories.
Listen, that would be a change. And so they have obviously been a company that's grown organically. They created out of nothing 10 years ago. They've created the largest content creation engine there is.
And their cash flow, I mean, they're making a lot of money now.
Yes.
So much money that they're returning it to shareholders. But that's what I'm talking about.
I get it.
I don't want return to shareholders.
All right, let's move on to a growth story you really do like, which was
Chipotle.
Let me listen to Mr. Nichols from yesterday. Oh. He was on the closing bell, Jim. And you can contain
brisket.
Yourself.
It's a brisket.
And then we'll get your thoughts.
Okay, sure.
Brian Nichols.
The thing that I keep an eye on are the absolute dollars that we're doing in our digital business, because that continues to grow. You know, we had the addition of the quesadilla to our digital platform. Our rewards program now is over 23 million people. So I think we're going to grow in absolute dollars from here. But as our dining rooms come back, we're seeing more people show up for lunch. You know, we're seeing more occasions happen in the restaurant. The percentages probably will change a little bit.
All right. Thoughts?
Okay. Culture. You hear about how hard it is to find people. I question that. Listen to this. This is from Chipotle's conference call. Our Coast to Coast Career Day event last week, Career Day, resulted in us hiring thousands of additional team members. If you've got a culture, you can hire thousands in a day. They have a winning culture. They own their stores. It's not franchised. They run a tight ship. David, they're digitizing as much as they can, even to the point where they have their own answering service, basically. So if you have a question, they continue to innovate. I mean, cauliflower. All right. Well, now it's going to be smoked brisket. David, we laugh at these, but we shouldn't. Their menu is exciting. Their execution is extraordinary. $3 million for average unit volume? For money, sales? And David, get this. They think they can do it 6,000 times. This is the model company in America. They have a couple outside of London. I'm sorry, America, that's mayor talking.
Yes.
But they have a couple outside of London. But it's an American story. They are talking about much growth ahead. Delta variant, they mentioned it, potential impact. But the fact is, people are going back to lunch. Which is, by the way, not happening, according to James Quincy, at a lot of the other quick service
restaurants.
You
mentioned Quincy. Do you want to any interest in
absolutely? Because I thought he did a great job.
Yeah,
I think that if he had, do you know the scene in the movie The Jerk?
Yes.
The cans.
Yes, I do.
Well, he doesn't have enough cans. He literally told me that if he had more cans, he could have blown away the numbers. Think about that. Shortage of cans.
Right.
People are back. He's doing direct to consumer. The smaller size form is working. It's not a gimmick. They are the most beautiful asset light model. Remember, they're the smallest canning company of any of the beverage companies, and it's a share take. The hybrid model.
Although you wondered when we saw the Pepsi numbers whether in fact Coke would deliver.
I didn't count on convenience store and cafeteria back. Hybrid model could prove to be good for them. People drink Coca-Cola at home, and they drink it at the office. Before, it was just the office. They feel like they have to have it. Coke Zero, David, is coming on. Remember the comment that we got from Chip Berg and Levi?
Yes.
About 35% waist growth, waist change?
Change. Some people got thinner because they were able to work out more. Other people went the other
way. Well, that's actually a canard. Most people got fat. Let's just own that.
Well, I was hoping not.
Obese. What are you allowed to say? Fat, obese. But get this.
Yes.
Double-digit growth in zero because of the waistline.
Got it.
I think that's fascinating. Okay.
All right. It's going to be a new feature here. Hit the loose, whatever.
No, it's too soupy sales-like.
Is it?
I think so.
Right. It protects us.
New.
Oh, my Lord. That again.
That's fine.
I know it's fine.
And Fang's looking really good. Okay.
We're going to talk markets, by the way. Let's give you another look at futures. More Squawk on the Street from the New York Stock Exchange coming right up.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, The ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
We're as confident as we can be. There's certainly more uncertainty than normal, given COVID, Delta variant, and we can talk about that. But we think that by far the most likely outcome is that we continue on this demand recovery, largely unabated, and it gives us enough confidence to say we're going to be profitable in the third and fourth quarter, which is an important milestone to get back to.
Stock may be up ever so slightly. That was United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby earlier on Squawk Box discussing the company's outlook after, of course, its results came out. We've spent a lot of time talking about the airlines, talking about the cruise companies as well, the Delta variant, what impact that's going to have. You can see the group looks to be higher. We are going to have Gary Kelly, as often is the case, joining us tomorrow.
Now, United received $7.7 billion in federal funds. Okay? There is no doubt in my mind that it would file bankruptcy if it had gotten money.
If it hadn't gotten the $7.7 billion.
Right. So the question is, was that the right amount or not? Or do we just look at it as this company was a goner? And what would it have done to national security to have no airlines? We'd have no airlines, David. I know we're going to hear from
Gary Kelly. We'd have a lot of bankrupt airlines. Right, they'd be operating.
But that's the old days, when we have Eastern Airlines.
Braniff. How many times did Braniff go bankrupt?
I'll repeat it.
Three, I think.
People Express, 1981.
Yes,
big.
People Express.
So when I look at this and I say, triumph of bipartisanship. Remember, this is a bipartisan bailout. When the Democrats and Republicans actually talk to each other to get something done,
they moved very fast
during
the pandemic.
Our country is in better shape.
Yeah.
And when we're doing this kind of nonsense that we're doing right now.
On infrastructure,
it pains me. These companies, and you've got a screen right there, right now. Every one of those companies would have gone bankrupt if it weren't for bipartisan work being done. And by the way, Treasury helped
and
out.
And the largesse of the bond market as well, which of course was helped along by the Fed and
remember,
all the programs
the Fed
that
didn't
went
really
place.
Need to. No. There was a backstop that was needed. But I'm looking at these companies and saying, you know what? That's a global depression if we don't get this, if we don't get that bailout. And again, I come back to what happens in our country when we have unity.
Well, we didn't have unity there. We had panic. And it worked.
Panic provoked unity.
Yes. And you did have some leadership.
Right. There was one person who voted against the war after Pearl Harbor. In terms of panic.
Yeah.
But I look at this and I say triumph. And remember, we had a very divisive president.
Yes.
And yet we all knew that we had to save the world.
All right. All of which means
positive.
All of which
I gave
means
you positive.
You did. All of which means what for United Airlines trading now at $47 a share?
It means that they're back.
Okay.
And if you get international, they're really back.
Right.
What's difficult is we keep talking about the variants. David, after speaking with J&J this morning, I've got a better feel on the variants.
You want to share it?
Yes.
Okay.
They've got a head of R&D who is someone I've talked to multiple times, Mitai Mammen. He's a serious guy. Okay, he's that of it. And I don't believe the. I think there may be flawed science to the story in the New York Times
that says that their vaccine is not particularly effective against the Delta variant.
It could be flawed science. There is not. They do not have actual hard facts on that. But more important, David, J&J, which of course is being.
And
aggressively slammed on this. David, there's not a lot of hospitalizations and there are no deaths. What are we trying to accomplish with the vaccine?
I continue to ask that. We're trying to accomplish that. And so the question does become, are we reacting to the right numbers if we start to have mask mandates and close things down?
I think
I don't know. I mean, again,
I think that the people who are anti-vaxxers just go get the J&J. One shot.
Want.
Yeah, one shot. You feel fine. Let's just get this done.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather get two Pfizers than one J&J? Come on.
But, you know, except for the places where apparently we have to throw some out. Johnson & Johnson's trying to save the world. And remember, they're non-profit. They're not getting money.
Right.
So, I mean, to slam J&J like they're some sort of warmonger, they make it seem like it's Harry Lime selling penicillin to, you know, to the people down there who look like ants.
But I want to get the vaccine that works the best. That's what I want.
Right. Well, yeah, but you could get them. Any booster's better than no booster.
Well, the booster for J&J could be two Pfizers.
I'm just saying, David, what matters is hospitalizations and deaths.
Agreed.
And they're not going up, and we should stop freaking out about the variant. There. I am reassuring us on the variant. And we got to move on.
Yes, we do. You know why? Because we got to make time for your mad dash.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
All right, it's time for Jim's Mad Dash, of course, as we like to count you down to the opening bell right now, which got about 6 minutes before we get started with trading.
I search and search why the NASDAQ is down right now. And I come back and say, maybe it's ASML Holdings, which is a Dutch company that reported a fantastic quarter, but the stock's not moving or starting to trend down. What really matters here, David, is they talk about, again, the demand from Samsung and Taiwan Semi is unabated. They just continue to need more and more machines. Now, what's interesting is ASML is caught up in a geopolitical struggle. I try to throw everything at you. Right now, the U.S. is blocking this company from selling these gigantic bus-sized devices to the Chinese. The reason why this may be an ill-fated strategy, it is forcing and ramping, and I've got this from very good sources, the tension where the Chinese now feel like, listen, we have no choice. We have to figure out a way to, yes, take over Taiwan. Because they can't get this key.
You can't just throw something out like there,
okay,
out there like
well, let
that,
me
Jim.
Just,
take
there
over
are,
Taiwan.
There are political parties that are supported by the People's Republic of China in Taiwan. It would not be military. It'd be squeezing ever so slightly over and over and over again. But if you trap the Chinese by not letting them have their machines, I think it's ridiculous. You're forcing the Chinese hand. You don't want that. Let them have the darn machines. We don't want, David, the single greatest geopolitical threat to everything is a move, a power grab by the Chinese to Taiwan. It has to be prevented at all costs. And I don't think President Biden's doing enough to try to make it so it's not. And this doesn't help.
Okay. All right. Opening bell coming up. Stay with us.
When you look at Google, you look at Facebook, you look at Microsoft, you look at Amazon, if you believe the economy is going to grow and interest rates are going to stay where they are, they're not overvalued. There's three markets out there. There's the FANG market, there's the Robinhood market, and there's the everything else market. I traffic a little bit in the FANG market because I think they're great companies that are really had demand pulled forward by at least 5 years because of the virus. So my biggest family office position is Google. I own a very big position in Microsoft. I can say the same thing about them. I own a decent position in Amazon. And I own a little bit of Facebook. I missed that one.
Leon Cooperman yesterday in the halftime report, his investment take. He owns a lot of FANG. He owns, by the way, the largest market cap companies out there as well, which are pretty well owned by everybody.
From one degree or another, but they are so representing the S&P. You do have to have a view of them.
Yes.
Now, we're going to hear shouting.
Yes.
And it's not because of my genius comment that I'm about to give you, but I do believe that the companies that use these companies are beginning to come on very strong. A Starbucks uses these companies. Chipotle uses these companies. You want to now be in a position where you're buying a company that is harnessing the power of FANG.
Celebrating its IPO today. Over at the NASDAQ payroll provider Paycor, also an IPO. And Jim, we've had a lot of new companies come to the market. that old, you know, so, oh, we're losing so many companies, the markets are getting so much smaller. Between SPACs and straight IPOs.
Look, we're so overloaded with new companies, we don't know what to do with them. In order to buy this shares in this company, you have to sell shares in something else.
You always talk about that. Well, you don't necessarily.
David,
it's not all one for one.
David?
Yes?
It may be too early to buy Mr. Car Wash.
Really?
Still? Mr. Car Wash is profitable. But that's a car wash as a service. But what I'm saying is there are so many companies, David, that are equally as interesting, but there's not enough cash to go around. Listen to what Lee Cooperman was talking about. Is he talking about buying any of these newer companies?
Well, no. He will if he can get a good allocation and flip it later in the day. Right?
That's insulting.
No, it's not. That's how business is done.
Well, so insulting.
I mean, if I told Lee right now, he'd say that. Of course. Were you kidding me?
Well,
give
I'm
me
just
as much
saying,
as you can.
Right. Well, you know, first, he noted, by the way, he brought up something. There was this, the Robinhood stocks.
Yes.
Now, David, you and I don't like to talk about them because, remember, I stopped talking about them, the meme stocks. But Adam Aron was named chairman this morning
of AMC. Yes.
Now, Adam Aron is now going to be the czar of AMC, all right? And it's interesting that the stock is down, given the fact that he's the man who saved AMC. Shouldn't it be higher?
Did he save it, or did the Robinhood Reddit traders
save it?
He managed
to be able to harness the power.
Yes.
Of the Wall Street bettors.
Yes.
Who despise me.
Sold,
and you know what? I don't care. I despise Dallas Cowboys. I despise Giants.
Market cap of AMC is still hovering around $20 billion. It obviously is sold off. As you pointed out, since they did not get the, or did not seek to get the authorization to increase their share count,
but
the stock has come in.
Maybe he says, you know what? Do it. Maybe
it's I don't think it really changes anything.
Yeah. And how about GameStop impacted by Netflix at all? Netflix is talking about giving games away. GameStop, Ryan Cohen, we still don't know his plan.
No, still waiting.
Yeah, waiting.
Still waiting.
Waiting for Godot, waiting for Cohen. I like both of those plays.
GameStop's $187 a share right now. What do you think that stock is worth?
GameStop?
Yeah. I want to put you on the record. Do you want to go there or no?
Look, if it is what it is. Remember,
if it is
this is
what
Bobby
it is?
Kennedy. It's a Bobby Kennedy stock. Some people dream dreams of what's now.
Yes.
I dream dreams of the future.
Right?
Right? I mean,
yes.
I want to look at GameStop. I'm a Bobby Kennedy guy.
Okay.
I actually helped. I campaigned for RFK.
Really?
Yeah.
He helped me when I was a baby. My mother was one of those, I guess she handed me over.
I'm giving leaflets for RFK and you're a baby. Well, that says it all. But what I'm saying is that if you look at GameStop as just a company that sells games, hardware games, no. Once the cycle ends for all the new consoles, that's pretty much it. Then I don't know what you're selling. And you can get the consoles at Best Buy. And by the way, can I just say, here's a little something, a little tidbit for you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Flash.
Give it to me.
Corey Barry is doing a remarkable job at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she has had very few supply chain problems for equipment that we all know comes from Asia.
Yes.
And she's a master at it. By the way, do you know that, remember when Trump tried to get everybody to switch to Vietnam?
Yes.
Haiphong Harbor is not deep enough to handle any of those.
You said that at the time.
Well,
I don't remember.
Hears me.
No,
I said that, but it's going to be ill-fated.
Went over there, remember?
Yes.
I mean, there was some...
We could mine Haiphong Harbor, but we can't dredge Haiphong Harbor.
Well,
how about that?
I guess not. Point is, what, that it hasn't really changed as much in manufacturing to a certain extent.
It's
still...
Well,
they had such
deep supply chains
there.
What do we do, export ban on tomatoes? I don't know. I grow enough tomatoes. I could throw them over there.
I bet you could.
I'm looking at, David, a market that is resilient, but not runaway. After yesterday's big gains, though, it's very positive.
We're more or less back right to where we were
exactly
at the beginning of the week.
Chipotle's up 121. Now, I used the $2,000 price target the other day.
Yeah.
Well, I think that I'm not raising my price target. I'm not that kind of superficial guy. But this one's going to gallop there. Because no one's ever seen anything like it. I had to send a congratulations gentleman note to Brian last night. I had to. Because after I read the conference call, I said, they figured it out. Do you know that a Chipotle does so much better that they literally have the combination that we've always wanted, David? Digital up and indoor up. And wait till the smoked brisket comes out.
Is that going to really be a good
one? They have a stage, a launch stage, and that is about to come out. Just like cauliflower rice. I don't know if you had that.
I haven't. I don't go there very often.
You don't go there at all?
No, my son really likes it.
So what else are you looking at, David? Because I've got some more things.
I'm looking at my old favorite CCIV.
And I'm going to J&J.
Remember CCIV?
Churchill?
Yeah, Churchill Capital 4, the future Lucid Motors. Here's an interesting conundrum for them. Okay, nobody's going to redeem. Remember, as a SPAC holder, if you want, you can redeem, get 10 bucks back. Obviously, nobody will do that. But in order to close the deal, to become Lucid, you got to get 50.1% of the shareholders to vote yes, like any merger. Or, well, depending on what needs vote. In this case, 50.1%. Because they have so many shareholders who are Robinhood / Reddit,
right?
You think these people are going to answer a call to make a call or fill in a proxy or send something?
Absolutely
in?
Not. You're right. This should have been a SPAC report.
Did you see Peter Rawlinson is basically taking to Twitter and to any platform he can, the CEO of Lucid, to tell them to vote, trying to find them.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
That's going to be ill-fated.
And so if they don't get 50.1% by, I think it's midnight tonight, they're going to have to postpone. Eventually, they're going to get their 50.1%. But, Jim, I think it's just interesting that their shareholders are all over the place, as we know.
Well, that's
they got so embraced by the Reddit Wall Street Bets crowd. And, I mean, do you really think these people are going to actually take the time to
No, they don't even know there is democracy. They're chits. They're chits in a broader game.
Right.
That's all they are.
Now,
and they're merely, the men and women over there are merely players.
Do they also know that when this does get done, as it inevitably will, although perhaps not by midnight tonight, unless their proxy solicitors do a really good job, they're going to be 1.6 billion shares outstanding? So take 1.6 billion times 2464.
Hold on, Lucian.
It's a big market cap, my friend.
Price of Ford.
That's a
David,
big market cap.
We are getting a lot of pin action today.
For instance, a lot of what?
A pin action.
Oh, okay.
You've never bowled.
No.
I did a 148 last time I played.
Okay.
Chipotle is actually rubbing off on McDonald's, Dow stock. Okay.
Yep.
Now, should that be right? Well, it does say that people are eating out at lunch. That is something not confirmed by James Quincy when I asked him about it. Quick serve. But, David, American Express is coming back. Could that be United's good numbers? United's good numbers. So you're seeing travel doing better, leisure doing better, watch Marriott. Okay, that is travel. And we're seeing all, let's put it all together. Let's put the pastiche of that mosaic together. The variant is not worrying people as much as it was Monday.
So on Monday, everybody was very concerned.
Right.
On Wednesday, not concerned.
Not as concerned.
Okay.
And the canard of the J&J vaccine may be less effective against Delta, I'm telling you.
You question that.
I think it's less effective against Delta Airlines.
You question the science behind that?
Yes,
okay.
I do. No, the flawed science.
Well, listen, there are any number of things that we haven't measured yet, or at least measured enough. Scott Gottlieb will tell you we don't know, for example, if you've been double vaccinated, but you have a breakthrough and you get COVID, which, by the way, then you're very unlikely to get particularly sick. But are you contagious? We don't know that either.
Well, that's the problem. You are probably contagious, which is why you have the still contact trace that we need.
Right.
But you have many athletes, David, who have no idea that they have COVID and are playing at peak potential. Do you think that was the way it was before vaccination?
No.
Well, that's my point.
No, not at all.
And I think people have to start saying, instead of thinking about the anti-vaxxers, they should say, you know what, these things work very well. And there was no spike in deaths, even though we thought there would be. Now, we wish, like Dr. Topol said to me, that it's that you would want to help your fellow men. Dr. Fauci.
Fauci's coming on Closing Bell. Listen, Jim, to the extent that the concern about the Delta variant has risen to the point that people who are refusing to get vaccinated are doing so, that's only a good thing.
No, there's been no evidence that because of the fear that there's been any.
There hasn't been?
None. I've got great numbers as of last night.
So vaccines are not increasing? Because I've heard anecdotally they are.
You even got some of the Republican leadership actually coming out.
No,
you have anecdotal. I have empirical. And the empirical says absolutely not. So the anecdotal, empirical always trumps anecdotal.
Yes, it
Google
does.
Google it if you don't know
every
this.
Every single time.
Every time. David, but that's what's driving this market. And by the way, when I was at Bed Bath & Beyond yesterday, this is the new store that you won't go to, not the Upper East Side store that you wouldn't go to anyway. I see ooh, stock's down. It was up yesterday.
Yeah.
I see, again, remember, go back to my FANG analysis.
Yep.
Companies that are using this for price are also able to get coupons on it. There are so many things that are being used in FANG.
Yep.
Instagram continually being heard as the place that people go to sell product. I wish TikTok could be bought. 70 million people go to TikTok for about 45 minutes a day.
That's got to be one of the great advertising platforms. But I mean, where do you advertise these days?
Well, you spoke to Ralph Lauren.
Streaming, there's no ads, unless you're watching an ad-supported streaming
service.
They're
playing games. Well, remember, David, if you are availing yourself of the bountiful benefits that our governments are giving you until September, you have to fill your time, all right? You're gaming, right? You're shopping, back-to-school shopping, if you're going back to school, and kind of watching a lot of Netflix, but not enough to make Netflix stocks strong.
Jim, finally, I did want to come to it's a non-stock story, but it does involve Jamie Dimon getting a surprise retention bonus from his board of directors. I mean, we've made the point, Mr. Dimon, obviously one of the most revered CEOs
of his generation. But does he have enough to go into space? Does he have enough money to go into space?
I'm not sure if he has enough money to go into space, but he's 65.
He's
I mean, clearly the board is like, you stay as long as you want. You know,
Steve
works
on that board.
Steve Burke is our former boss. Is, I think, lead director. He's also on the board of Berkshire. He's got two very important successes.
Can I just say that if Jamie Dimon were to retire, that stock's down immediately 5, maybe 8%.
Okay.
But
by being in the job, even if you are one of the greats, that there are things that, you know, generationally or somehow that you are not doing that somebody else might do who was younger.
You are so right. He lamented Square. Remember, he just said he did not understand. No, his team didn't get fintech.
Right.
Now, Square is every day offering.
They're getting disintermediated right on that, and on payments. By the way, on certain areas of lending, too. I mean, I've come back to the stamps.com financing because it was just interesting. All these credit funds that are now providing financing to leverage buyouts and all sorts of things. Not that you're ever going to replace J.P. Morgan's balance sheet. But anyway, you do wonder, you know, 18 years. I mean, I don't know. At what point is it enough? What point do you benefit? You can't necessarily measure the things you're not getting from having somebody else be in the job, even though you've got one of the greatest CEOs of all time.
If you're a deposit company, right, deposit-based company like JP Morgan, you're going to have heavy regulation. PayPal does not suffer from that.
I get it.
Should they have set up?
All right, but you don't want to engage with me on the fact that maybe the board should be thinking about.
No, I'm not going there at all.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't work for Steve anymore.
No.
But I could easily say I think Steve is not doing his job. I think he's doing his job. I think Jamie Dimon is incredibly valuable.
Without a doubt. And they made that clear with an unexpected retention.
Yeah, Brian Moynihan has done more for digital than JP Morgan. Their digital platform is excellent.
Bank of America.
Yeah. I have accounts with everybody.
I know you do.
Of houses.
You got a lot of houses, my friend. What's your gardening? What's your landscaping bill like?
So hideous.
Is it?
Yeah, so hideous that I feel like I got to get rid of some of the Mexican properties.
I don't know about you, but trees must be coming down all over the place with these storms that we get.
It's not pleasant.
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bob Asani, you can now take it away.
Okay, thanks, David. Good to see you. Well, of course, 1% from a new high, folks. Keep an eye on that. Nice to see the cyclicals rebounding a little, but we've got a ways to go. But you look this morning, you see energy stocks, you see material stocks, you see industrials on the upside, even beating tech stocks right now. That's what you want to see because that's the sector that's had the toughest time of it. If you take a look here, you know, you were talking earlier, the guys, about how to deal with the COVID variants. It's very simple. It's a known unknown. And that's a little annoying because it implies, for example, that we know that the COVID variants are there, number one, but we don't know the impact on the economy or on earnings. So it's an uncertain narrative. We're just going to have to learn to live with it. It could impact us in terms of the earnings and the economy. And personally, it may not. We just don't know. We're going to have to live with it. In the meantime, we've got a great economic recovery that's going on. What we'd like to see a little bit is the cyclicals come back even more. Remember, they've been hit fairly hard in the last month. Growth stocks reasserted themselves. So if you look at energy stocks, still down rather notably. This is great. We're seeing oil come down. Good for the inflation story, but still weakness if you own the stocks. The Russell, banks, materials, these cyclicals still down with the S&P kind of flat for the month here. The question is, the market correction has been very limited. If you look at the S&P, we're essentially 1% from the historic high. We're back to where we were 6 or 7 days ago. Even the equal weight S&P 500, only 1.4% from an historic high. Mid-caps and small caps have had a deeper correction, but even here at down 6% on the Russell 2000, it's still overall pretty modest. The important thing is we're in earnings season. We had, 12 companies today, big companies? I think 10 of the 12 had handy beats. And we've got, 72 companies reporting so far. Okay, it's very early, less than 20%. But we're getting what we got in the last three quarters, which is about a 20% beat rate. I don't know if that's going to hold up through, but this is what happened. So we are repeating the prior several quarters trend where the analysts are, again, underestimating the extent of the earnings beats that we're seeing. And did you see the most important thing, I think, is pricing power that we're seeing? You hear Brian Nickel from Chipotle on? Saying we have pricing power. They're talking about the potential for 10% price increases. This will keep the margins up to offset the food cost increases that they've been seeing. Chipotle is sitting right near a new historic high there, as you see. That's important. So pricing power is going to be the key to a lot of people holding their margins up. Finally, can I note, Moderna is going into the S&P 500, and we are once again seeing that S&P 500 effect. Moderna was 245. About 6 days ago when they made this announcement. It's now essentially 300. We're talking 20% move up. This is the power of these indexes now. As more and more people become passive investors that get tied to the S&P 500, if you own the S&P, you now own Moderna, whether you want to or not. I said before many times, David, the people who run these index committees are the most powerful investment people in the world today because they command a lot of money. When they say Moderna goes in, a lot of money goes into Moderna, 20% in 6 days. David, back to you.
Yeah, and the index funds themselves, of course, as we point out so many times, Bob, have incredible influence over so many votes at so many of these companies, given their outsized percentage ownership when put together. Bob, thank you.
Okay.
Bob Pisani. As we head to break, let's do a quick bond report. Let's take a look at how treasuries are faring this morning. Of course, it's been a focus throughout the week as we, what did we touch? 1.13, I think I remember seeing. But there we are in the 10-year note, 1.275. Certainly yields higher across the board.
1.5 to get this market really going.
All right. We'll be right back. Congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks. Last night, the team won its first NBA title in 50 years. They defeated the Phoenix Suns. It was game six of the NBA Finals, and their fans have to be very happy. I can think of another team that I follow that hasn't won a title in. Anyway.
It's all right.
It's all right. You know what? Hope springs eternal. There's Giannis, of course, MVP last few years. Great championship for them. For the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, owned by
Mark. Yes, and a number of others. That's right. All right, up next is going to be Stop Trading with Jim. Stay with us. There it is, Stop Trading.
Going back and forth with Adam Aaron, named chairman, okay?
Okay.
AMC, and
yes.
I think it's important the stock turned around. It shouldn't have been down. He did avert financial collapse, okay? He raised $5 billion in equity, debt, and concessions. That's on the back of the Wall Street bettors, people.
Yes.
So he, we talked earlier, what was he able to gain from them? $5 billion. He is now ready to play offense. I actually believe that. Remember, they had almost zero revenue, and they're still alive. So I'm going to congratulate Adam Aaron for the orderly transition from Chinese control to U.S. retail ownership.
Having sold.
Let's give him his due.
Let's do that. And, Jim, I want to come back to the CCIV that I'd mentioned because, it is as much the fault, as I understand it, of Robinhood, the platform, in not notifying people that they should vote. Whereas apparently others, Ameritrade and many others, let you know, hey, vote.
Yeah, and Salesforce is taking a stake in Robinhood.
I think Salesforce the frustration there, and I know people are upset. And you know what? I didn't mean to insult any of the younger investors out there. I think, in fact, you could argue, as Robinhood gets ready to go public, The frustration seems to be they're not letting people know.
Well, let's talk to Vlad. Vlad Tenev, because
yeah.
I don't think Vlad Tenev is, look, I don't think Mark Benioff would be putting money into that company if he were not trying to help Vlad understand a single source of truth, which is what Robinhood is supposed to be, versus just an app.
$35 billion value on Robinhood. It's going to be interesting.
It's a lot of customers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, look who I have.
Oh, man, my best friend.
Have you hit W-O-R-K up, the symbol?
Slack? No, I haven't. Why?
You know why? Because as of today,
it's closed?
It's been acquired by Salesforce. And we're going to talk about the strategy. I want to know what he intends to do versus, say, Microsoft.
That'll be great.
Thank you.
Will you give him my best?
He doesn't really care for you.
No, that's not true.
Oh, okay.
He and I are now
all right,
a good place.
But I congratulate Adam. Adam, and I congratulate Mark Benioff, and I congratulate you for your trenchant analysis of the Robinhood problem, because that's wrong. If it's supposed to be for shareholder democracy, well, then, you know, what is that? It's
you got to let them be democratic.
You don't want North Korean democracy.
No, give them a chance.
99% of the people voted for one
other. Says, hey, you got a vote coming up.
Okay, I'll take care of that. Something I'll work on today.
You got a lot to work on.
I always do. I love it. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.